What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Coach Leah. I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for tuning into this episode, and I hope you're enjoying the show. I wanted to create a place where women could come together to connect and to inspire, encourage, and support one another. I'm proud to announce that we've created a community where we can do just that. The Locker Room with Coach Leah is a place of preparation where we get you ready for the big game of life. We talk about the real issues we face and empower one another to support our loved ones through PTSD without losing ourselves in the process. You'll find encouraging messages, helpful tools and resources, and have access to upcoming events, group challenges, and masterclasses. You can also let your voice be heard on the podcast after show page where we discuss the episode topic and you can give your opinion, ask a question, share your story, or give us future show ideas. We want to hear from you. There is power in community. We have a wealth of knowledge as we share our experiences and use them to build each other up. So after you like and subscribe to the podcast, be sure to click the link in the show notes and join the Locker Room to be encouraged, be empowered, and be blessed. Peace, y'all. Have you checked out the PTSD Wives Handbook? This book is for the wife whose spouse has survived trauma and is now navigating through mood swings, flashbacks, and mishandled emotions. PTSD can create a toxic home environment and cause a divide in the closest and most meaningful relationships. As a caretaker, the PTSD wife is finding herself at the receiving end of anger, aggression, and constant negativity. This can create a personal, mental, and spiritual health crisis for her. In this book, Coach Leah uncovers the hidden wounds of trauma and the effects that it can have on your relationship. Based on biblical principles, she teaches you the tools and resources that are needed to handle stressful situations and to seek help from the Lord and foster a deeper relationship with Him. By reading this book and putting the principles into action, you're going to learn how to take control of your life and grab hold of the power that lies within. Grab your copy of the PTSD Wives Handbook today by clicking the link in the show notes. Now, back to the show. We're talking about the power of a praying wife. Come on in, y'all. Let's talk about it. My name is Leah Huggins. I'm a wife, a mother, and a proud U.S. Navy veteran. After two tours to Iraq, my husband was diagnosed with PTSD. My world spiraled out of control as fear, anxiety, doubt, and depression took over. I gave my life to Christ, took on a new mindset, and let go of the negativity of my past. I now help wives to find healing, encouragement, and strategy to overcome the effects of PTSD on their daily lives and in their marriage. So come on in and let's talk about it. Welcome to Marriage, Motherhood, and PTSD. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Marriage, Motherhood, and PTSD. This is the place where we empower women to support their spouse through PTSD without losing themselves in the process. I'm your host, Coach Leah, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. I am so excited about today's show because today, guys, we're talking about the power of intercession and going to God on behalf of your spouse. In fact, that's exactly what intercession is, right? It's going to God on behalf of someone else. It's bridging the gap for them. You know, it's the true definition of what it means to have your back. As a spouse, I think a bit like this, right? You know how sometimes you can have an itch that's in a place that you can't reach. And so you have to have somebody else to step in and scratch that itch on your behalf. That's exactly what intercession is. I know it's a silly comparison, but it's true. It's exactly what it is. You step in on their behalf. You know exactly where it is that they need to be covered in prayer. And because of your unique position as the wife, you can actually position yourself better than they can to cover them in prayer. So in the Bible, Eve was God's solution to meet Adam's needs. You know, just like you're the solution to meet your spouse's needs. So as a wife, you are the one that's closest to them. You're the first line of defense. You know exactly how they're being affected by everything that's going on in their life. God is going to show you what to pray for, and that's exactly why it's important that you stay connected to Him. You are a covering. You know when He's up. You know when He's having a moment. You know, when he's struggling, when he's weak, and when he's just about giving up. This is why you have to fight for your marriage in prayer. God knew that you would be going through rough times because of who you are connected to, but he's equipped you with exactly what you need to make it through. So why is it important to pray for your spouse? Well, to begin with, prayer is the way that we as believers fight our battles, all of our battles. We fight on our knees. We fight with our hands lifted high. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You all know the scripture. As a wife, sometimes you have to believe God for them. You have to trust him for a miracle on their behalf. You got to have faith in the places where they may have already given up. You're a watchman. Sometimes you can see things that they can't. There's power in your prayer. Your prayers have the power to stop some things. You have to have a prayer life. Prayer is a faith thing, right? It's all about the relationship with God and your ability to trust that he is with you and that he's not going to leave you and that he's already worked things out on your behalf, regardless of what it looks like in that moment. We have to learn how to pray and how to leave it there without worry or doubt or fear. You got to be real when you pray, right? That means that you have to be willing to acknowledge and to accept what you're going through. You know, sometimes we can be in denial about the reality of what it is that we're going through. You know, the reality of our situation. Like, it's not as bad as it seems, right? You may be able to lie to yourself, but you can't lie to God because he knows. He wants you to bring it all to him. The good, the bad, and the downright ugly, right? So what exactly is it that keeps us from praying? You know, sometimes we can get too busy with life and, you know, we don't have time to fit it into our day. And the problem is that we're prioritizing everything else over spending time with God. You know, yes, we're busy and we all have plenty of things that we're balancing on our plates, but we have to make time, make it a priority to spend time with God. Now, real talk, I started having problems when my prayer life changed, when I stopped praying as much. And that's when the problems really began. The problem was is that I had changed my focus, and it was prayer that was keeping me focused on my relationship with God. So when I turn away from that, I'm actually turning away from him. Think about it. Like, if you talk to your spouse daily and then one day you just stop, you stop talking to them, you lose your connection, you lose intimacy, and you drift further and further apart, and you leave room for temptation to come in between you two, and it separates you. You can't go on in a relationship without connecting with each other. It just won't work. Sometimes, you know, we just don't know what to pray. And thank God the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us when we just don't have it together, right? It's also good that we pray the word over our spouse when they don't know what to pray. We ask God for discernment so that we know exactly what it is we need to pray for in that moment, and also ask him to give us the discernment that we need to know when and when not to say something to our spouse. You know, you should be able to tell the difference between a regular, everyday, normal struggle and then also when they're going through a spiritual attack. So what does an attack look like? Well, basically, you're feeling overwhelmed and helpless when you give up hope. When you struggle with depression and anxiety, you know, you begin to lose interest in the things that you used to do. And when you have problems in your relationship and you find yourself arguing and fighting and pulling away from one another, when you start going back and forth and going back to your old ways and those old habits that you've been broken free from, right? When you're overwhelmed and stressed physically, mentally, and emotionally, you know, even more, you stop praying. You got to know that there's power in your words. Jesus cast out demons with his words, right? He cursed the fig tree and it didn't grow. It died almost. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. You will have what you speak, and you can be bound or free by whatever you say. The Bible says that we eat the fruit of the things we say. Your life, your present circumstances, it was all created by what you said in the past. The word says that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You will have exactly what it is that you say. So because of that, you got to speak and you got to pray for those things that you want to see in your life. Your words are seeds. You can be snared or you can be freed by the words that come out of your mouth. So be careful about what it is that you say and what you speak over your spouse and over your marriage. So how are we supposed to pray? What methods are we supposed to use? Well, first thing to know is that there are many, many ways that you can go to God in prayer, right? You can pray out loud. You can pray quietly. You can pray on your knees. You can pray laying down, prostrate on the floor. You know, different situations require different formats and different types of prayer. Like when you're leading prayer at church, you're praying differently than you would if you were at home praying in private. Now, I have been known to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get to walking around slanging oil and laying hands on everybody and everything, whether they were asleep or not. Okay. And then, you know, I've also been known to wait until everybody leaves the house and I go through the house and do the same thing, praying loudly and boldly to put the devil on notice and let him know he ain't welcome around here. Right. I'm talking about warfare, y'all. Serious warfare. All right. But my absolute favorite way to pray is through journaling. I find it so much easier for me and I'm able to get my thoughts and my feelings out. Journaling also gives me a visual point of reference that I can look back on and I can see the journey and exactly how far I've come. Journaling helps me to keep track of my prayers so that I can look back and see where I was struggling and at what point and where he answered my prayers. And this helps to build my faith. There's power in unity. Your circle matters. That's why the enemy wants to try so hard to divide you and to get you isolated because it makes it easier to attack you or your spouse. Remember, what affects him also affects you. So you got to use that as your motivation to pray for him. You got to be a battle buddy for one another, right? Two are better than one. If one falls down, the other can help them up. And though one be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A threefold cord is not easily broken. That's scripture, right? There's another scripture that says one can rout 1,000 and two can rout 10,000. The word says that when two or more are gathered together in his name, you know, when two or more agree, God is there. God blesses unity, especially unity in prayer. You got to be connected and believe God together and hold each other accountable. Confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. There's power in agreement and you have to make sure that you do your part. Make it a point to come together and pray together as a couple. If not daily, maybe try it once a week. Prayer is a weapon. It goes along with studying the word and fasting and your faith. You have to know what the word says about your situation, and you have to be able to believe it, to put it on your situation. The key to powerful prayer is your faith. It's all about knowing and believing that God is able and he is working things out in your favor. Everyone's faith gets tested from time to time. You know, when you pray, you got to have faith. What is faith? Faith is taking God at his word and believing what it is that he said and that he's going to do it. Your circumstance can have you thinking that, you know, God doesn't know or he doesn't care about what it is that you're going through. You know, it can make you question what it is that you believe. You got to ask God to help you with that unbelief. Lord, I do believe, but this is beyond what I can comprehend. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. You got to be honest with him. When you pray, it helps to think back on the things that he's already done, the things that he's already brought you through. You got to look back at how far you've come, and this will help with building your faith and overcoming doubt. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? That's from Proverbs. It's hard to have faith when the circumstance doesn't look like what you're expecting. You got to reach back and look at your own experience and remember how God has moved in your life or in the life of somebody that you know. You can read your Bible to find out how he's moved in the lives of the people in those days. And remember that what he's done before, he can do it again, right? Your faith is your history book. Now, it can be hard to believe God for the change that you're waiting for and that you're wanting when everything around you is telling you a different story. What you're dealing with may frustrate you, and it's hard to keep your mind under control when you can't control your present circumstance. Remember, we have not a high priest that can't be touched. He knows, he understands. Jesus has been there. He went through it too. So when is it the right time to pray, and how do you set the atmosphere for prayer? The Bible instructs us to go into our secret closet. You should have a place that you designate as a place of prayer for you, right? Not just at church, but somewhere that you have access to whenever you need it. Your sanctuary should be wherever it is that you need it to be. You also need to be able to pray on the go, right? No matter where you are. You don't have to be on your knees to talk to God. You can talk to him in your car, you know, on your way to work, during your lunch break. You can do quick, short prayers, you know. Prayer should never end. You know, we should be so consistent and so constant in communication with God. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes and, you know, I'm going to the bathroom and I get back into bed and I'm like, good morning, God. You know, how you doing today? You know, we just have a conversation. It's all about communication, because it's communication that builds relationships. You know, that's across the board, not just with you and God, but with people too. And this is how you get to know somebody. You have to prioritize time with God, right? You got to find some time in the day, in the car, in the shower, you know, on break at work. Find time and try your best to be consistent with it. Also, worship and prayer, they go hand in hand. You know, I keep worship music on during the day, even if I have to have my earbuds on, you know, because that way I'm constantly in his presence. So what exactly are the things that we need to be praying for? Well, we definitely want to pray for the things that you're worried about. You know, our emotions have a way of letting us know exactly what it is that we need to be praying for. Wherever there's a lack of peace, that's what you want to pray for. You pray for what is going to make life easier for them, right? You can see what it is that they're going through and what they've experienced, and you know what they need. Pray that their burdens be lifted. Pray for his spirit and for his relationship with God. Pray for his discernment and his decision-making. Cover him in prayer for the demons that he's going to have to face, and ask for the strength and for the power that he's going to need to fight them. Another thing you can do is to watch his words. Listen for the things that he says and even the things that he does and doesn't say. The behavior is not the issue. It's just a product of the problem. The real issue is the condition of his heart, and that's what you need to pray for. You got to pray and ask for the strategies that he'll need to lead your household. Pray for him as a man, as a husband, and as a father. Now, you have to be specific in prayer, right? I always say that your prayers need to be heat-seeking missiles that you can target with the word and with your faith. You got to pray for what you don't see and the things that you don't know. Pray for the spiritual warfare that he may be going through at any time. You know, those internal battles that he could be facing. Now, truthfully speaking, sometimes their condition, you know, or the things that they're going through make it hard to like them, okay? Even though you love them, right? Sometimes it's hard to like them. You know, it can be hard to pray for him when you're mad at him, right? First, you got to get your emotions in check. Decide that you're going to walk in love with him. And walking in love is not about, you know, how you make me feel, but it's more about how I make you feel. That's walking in love. So how do you work through that? How do you get past being offended in order to pray for him? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to learn how to pray mad, okay? Use that energy to direct your prayers. He's not the enemy, but the Bible does tell us what? Pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use us, right? He's not your enemy though, okay? We still have to find a way to pray for them, even when we're mad, right? It shouldn't stop just because we're mad. You have to be intentional, and that takes discipline not to go and act on how you feel. When you're angry, sometimes it's better to practice the art of what I call shutting up, okay? Everything does not require a response, right? It's not worth it to argue with them about everything. Learn how to shut up and just pray about it. Don't go complaining to your mama and them or Bonquisha and them, right? Some things are not for other people to know. Learn how to pray about it first and shut up. There's power in your silence. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue shall keep his soul out of trouble. Amen. Amen. We got to stop complaining to people about them, right? They can't do anything about it anyway, right? Start telling God about your problems and then speak to that mountain and turn around and start telling your problems about your God. That thorn in the flesh, as Paul calls it, that is the problem that keeps you persistent and consistent in prayer. It could be the very thing that draws you closer to God. The scripture says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. This means that you have to be righteous. You got to examine your intentions when you're praying. The book of James talks about how we don't have what we want because we don't ask. And then when we do ask, we ask with the wrong intention, with the wrong motive. So why are you praying to God? And how often are you praying? Like, are you being consistent with it, or are you only praying when you want something? I had to realize that the prayers that I was praying were not for his good, but for my own. He was bothering me, right? He was arguing with me, and I was upset because of what was happening to me. And it was a selfish prayer. I wanted God to change him so that I could feel better, so that things would be easier on me. But prayer like this never addresses the real issue. Proverbs 66 says that God will not hear your prayer if your heart ain't right. It's all about your intention. Change him, Lord. That's not the right prayer. Okay. So don't just pray for God to change his behavior. Stop praying for the things that's going to make you feel better, or that will make you more comfortable, or those things that'll make it easier for you. The behavior is just a reflection of what's on his heart. And that's where the truth lies. Somewhere deep down inside, there's a hurt that has not been dealt with. So the heart is the issue, not the circumstance. This is what you have to pray for. The word says to guard your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. Why? Because it's connected to your emotions, how you feel. And how you feel isn't always the truth, right? You have to learn how to get past your emotions and take control of them. And while you're praying for him, make sure you pray for yourself. Pray for your heart. Pray for yourself as a wife, that God will make you into who it is that you need to be for him. Pray for your discernment so that you'll be able to meet his needs even before he even asks for it. Ask God how to teach you how to talk to him, that you learn what to say and when to say it and how to say it. The goal is peaceful communication. Through prayer, God changes me. He may not change the situation, although he can do that too. But he's not always going to change the situation. He's going to change you so that you can overcome whatever it is that you're going through and to mature you and to increase your faith. Remember, happiness is not based on what's going on outside of you. What's happening on the outside isn't what counts. It's all about what's going on the inside of you. You can't say, I'd be happy only if he would, or if he would just stop. You have to get past your feelings. Don't ask God to change him, but ask God to change you to better deal with your situation. You have to get past your feelings. True happiness is not about your circumstance. It's about what's down on the inside of you. Your prayer should be consistent, and it should be constant. Not only should you be constantly communicating with God, but you should be constantly listening for him to speak to you as well. You got to make listening a part of your prayer. Don't just unload on him, because he does want you to do that. All right. But take the time to sit there and listen to what he says in response to your prayer. It's not necessarily an audible voice that you'll hear. You know, he speaks to me through his word. He'll speak through music or through preaching. It can even be a thought that you may have that, you know, didn't come from you, even though it sounds like your voice. Or that of somebody you know, like a pastor or a family member. You know, God can also speak through your circumstance, and he'll lead you in the way that you need to go by the things that are happening on your journey. And when he speaks, it may not be right away. You know, a lot of times God speaks to me while I'm going about life as usual. And this is why I am the queen of sticky notes, right? Because I always have something around me to write down what I hear, and I'll go back and review it later. You know, you never know when he's going to give you something. That's why it's good for you to write it down so you can remember it later on when you need it. You got to learn how to make prayer practical. Make it a part of your everyday routine. Prayer is going to connect you with God, and it could be the key to finding the peace that you need, especially in turbulent times like these. And most of all, be patient, right? It can take time. Remember, when you pray, you're planting seeds. There's a certain amount of time before that seed grows and you can reap a harvest. The time in between is what we call the process. You can't skip the process. You got to go through it in order to perfect you and to build your faith in God. Don't lose heart. It may look worse before it gets better, but you have to keep believing, keep praying, and keep rehearsing those scriptures until you believe it. The process is a journey. Every day, you got to start your day with prayer. You got to ask for direction that you need for that day, for that moment. Every time I anoint my forehead and I ask God to guide my thoughts, I ask him to bless my eye and let me see the things and situation and people through his eyes. I anoint my ears and I ask him to help me tune into his voice to hear what it is that he's speaking to my heart. And especially my lips, I ask him to guide my words so that my words would be full of grace and love and be used to build people up and not tear them down. You got to cover your family in prayer. If you get the unction to pray or you feel the push to pray, then do it. You got to follow that feeling because you never know what it is that God is using you to guard against. You never know that what's happening that God is preparing you to get in the way, to block it, to block those things that can be harmful. Got to pray before you leave your home. Pray circles around your family. Hedges like Job. Job used to pray for his children. You know, he did intercession for them. And it says in the Bible that he prayed just in case they sinned against God in their heart. You got to do this for your family too. You never know what it is that they're thinking and what their experiences is. Our faith can be strong, but theirs may be weak. So that's why you have to pray on their behalf. You have to intercede for them. You got to pray for their decisions. You got to pray for their circle. You have to pray for their minds. You got to pray that they don't get turned out by this world and that instead they be a light. You want your kids to be mini evangelists that bring people to God through their walk and through their witness on their level. When you pray, you also need to do what needs to be done in the natural. You got to do your part. We pray to God and we ask him to do his part, but we have to do our part as well. You follow up on your faith with your actions. Faith without works is what? It's dead. Do your part as a wife, whatever that looks like in your relationship. If it's carving out quality time to spend time with him, then do it. If it's cooking dinner, if it's finding ways to support him, do it all, whatever it is. You got to put works behind what you're believing God for. And you have to keep on believing even when it doesn't look like what you want to see. Consistency is the key to real change that lasts. You got to be consistent and persistent in your prayers. You got to have faith and confidence in God. You have to keep believing even when it doesn't look like what you want to see. Consistency is the secret to real change that lasts. You got to be consistent and persistent in your prayers. Have faith and have confidence in God. Just keep asking him for whatever it is that you need and keep praying daily. It's going to build your faith. And it's such a reward when you can look back and see how God answered your prayers and that he heard you and that he moved on your faith. Whatever it is, he can do it. All right, you guys, that is my time for today. But join us next week for another amazing episode. All right. In the meantime, I want you to be encouraged, be empowered, and be blessed. Peace, y'all.